Hello and everyone. I mean, hello and hang on, let me restart that over. Actually, no, let's not restart that over. Let's just go with it because it'll probably be funnier that way. Hello and welcome everyone to Toonami Therapy. It is May 16th, 2019. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we'll just get going before I embarrass myself further by missaying things. See, it would have been really funny if I had said something wrong then, but that would have been too obvious of a joke, so I'm not going to do it. I am subverting your expectations. Okay, anyway, we'll start with the shows in order as usual. episode 49 of My Hero Academia. Oh golly, this is actually a surprisingly hard episode I feel to describe. So basically, So All For One and All Might are still, fighting, and All Might is, gotten weakened, he's gotten hurt and such. We get a whole bunch of flashbacks, also. And All For One mentions about how All Might's his mentor, her grandson, is actually Shigaraki, which, kind of is especially sort of painful for him. So everyone, cheers on All Might, and he's able to pull together enough strength by basically putting all of his power into one punch, which kind of like One Punch Man, then manages to beat All For One.
Yeah. Who, what was the name of that character again?
Which one?
That woman.
The woman in his flashback.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember her name. She was the previous person who had One For All.
Oh, okay.
It was I let me check. Her name was Nana Shimura.
Okay.
So yeah, he manages to beat All For One, and now that All For One is defeated, I'm hopefully not going to have to keep stopping to make sure I get One For All and All For One not mixed up. But I thought this was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good episode. You had that scene at the end where All Might is pointing off to Midoriya to pretty much tell him that it's up to him now. So that was a pretty emotional moment. And yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I remember it was a long time ago, but when we were talking about My Hero Academia, and you were mentioning about how like people who were watching the Japanese version saw something like were just super amazed by it and super excited. This was what they were referring to.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting to me because when you look at it, basically the episode is All Might punches All For One and wins, but it does, but it still manages to feel so emotional and effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
One other interesting thing that I did think of, though, in this is we've kind of talked before about how I don't think we've really seen it for a while, but how a bunch of anime will just say, okay, here's a big flashback that gives all the information about a character's backstory just before they die. And, well,
Yeah.
All Might didn't die here, but I was just thinking that if he actually did, this would have been a case of doing that flashback thing right. Because
Yeah.
the information we got from that was relevant. It'll matter to some extent in the future. He would have gone out, swinging quite literally. And it was a character we had in real investment in beforehand. So yeah, like I'm not saying he should have died or anything. I think the way it was done was great. I'm just saying if he had, that would have been an example of how to do that sort of thing correctly.
Actually, I think he should have died, honestly. I think that would have been like a really good time for him to die, a really good way for him to go out. And that would have like really got my attention. It was still good the way it was. I just feel like My Hero Academia, since no one dies in the series, it kind of makes me, whenever these big fights happen, I figure, okay, everyone's going to be okay. And if All Might had died, that would have been so shocking that it just would have changed everything about the series. So,
he didn't die, but he did essentially use up all of his like power. He's not super powered anymore. He's just like normal.
Well, you don't need to spoil it for me.
I'm sorry. I thought that was known. I thought that was kind of indicated in the episode. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought the episode kind of indicated that, but I guess it's not technically until next episode that it's explicitly laid out.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that's how essentially he doesn't die, but it manages to still have that sort of effect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, let's see. Promised Neverland, episode 5. So, we find out, since we found out that so Norman managed to find out Ray was a traitor because he did that. Actually, it was kind of cool in that he essentially told everyone something different and told Ray something so that he was able, you know, based on who actually, did the thing, was the traitor. And it made more sense when he explained it. Sorry. But Ray's like, but then Ray's like, well, yeah, I was basically just doing it to get information and stuff. And since he has Mom's trust, he'll be able to use that to try to help the rest of them actually escape anyway. But then makes Norm and Promise that that in exchange for the help, they'll have to basically go against Emma's hope of actually rescuing everyone and only getting the important ones out. The ones that can do it. Anyway, so then all that information gets told to Emma, except for that part about, you know, what Ray said, that part. And golly, that was basically what happened in the episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't really get it, this whole thing. Ray is a spy, but he isn't on their side. I didn't get it at all. It was so confusing. I'm really confused by this series right now. I can understand the main points of it, that the kids are going to be killed if they don't escape, so they need to escape. Okay, I get that part. But I don't understand all this stuff about getting information and spying and all this stuff. Like, why would you spy on someone if you're on their... That doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. You know?
Well, I think the way it was explained was Ray managed to find out, you know, he knew what was going on, so he basically sort of became Isabella's sort of spy for her in exchange for supposedly, you know, just getting stuff, you know, like saying, hey, I want this as sort of rewards, but he was actually doing it because he was trying to figure out what kind of things he could still get in order to try to get information about the outside world. And he was the one who actually, he set it up so that Emma and Norman would go after, would end up finding out the stuff and things. So he's been working for Isabella, but is kind of not, but has not really been loyal to her. What I'm surprised about is because I was a big fan of this when I read it, and I'm not enjoying it as much when I'm watching it. And it's not like Black Clover where they just were padding everything out or anything. This doesn't feel like that. And I'm just kind of thinking maybe this sort of thing just works better when you're reading it than when you're watching it.
Yeah, Yeah, it hasn't been all that entertaining. So I'm kind of really disappointed with it. You know,
if I remember correctly, it does get more. Based on what I remember, what happens, I think things get more interesting after this.
Well, I got spoiled on something very small, just one scene. Just like a screenshot. So what I see from the screenshot, it looks like it might be pretty interesting coming up. But...
Well, you obviously don't want to, like, spoil for any listeners. Can you just, like, tell me who was in the screenshot so I might be able to figure out what you're referring to?
No, I don't remember who was in it. I just remember there was bed sheets. So that's all I remember.
I can't think. I don't know what that one's off hand. But, okay, so that was The Promised Neverland. All right, so... JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Diamond is Unbreakable, episode 35. So, after that sort of confrontation between Kira and Hayato at the end of the previous episode, Kira just decides, I'm just going to kill you. But that, but realizes, oh, dang, that kind of will blow my cover and such. But then the arrow hits him, and he gains some new power, which allows him to somehow resurrect Hayato the kid. It was kind of vague on how he did that. But anyway, so it allows Kira to basically afterwards put something on him that makes it so that if he ever tells anyone who Kira is being disguised as, that it'll then cause an explosion that'll kill them and then warp Hayato back to that day, that point in time earlier. So when Rohan finds him and uses his stand to try to get information, it results in him getting killed by that, and then Hayato again, like, just warping back in time to that. So that's a pretty powerful effect, essentially, even if I'm still confused as to how he came back the first time. But yeah, that was the episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just kind of don't pay as much attention anymore because there have been so many bad episodes that by this point I'm just waiting for it to end, you know? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an amazing episode or anything, but I thought it was still entertaining. I don't know. I just feel like it was generally at its best when it's just kind of doing fun stand battles, and when it's doing things kind of other than that, it's often not as interesting. So I don't know. We'll see. It at least is moving clearly into the end game. Now.
Yeah, the problem is that I never liked any of the characters who were introduced in this arc. None of them were very good at all. And the only one I really liked was Jotaro. And he's from the previous arc. The new characters I never really cared for. And I guess that's part of the reason why I don't like it that much, you know? Hmm.
I don't mind him so much, but yeah, I do think I like the ones from the last part more. Well, I mean, I guess Abdul was just kind of there, but yeah. You know, the other characters, you know, made up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess you want someone there to be, well, I'd say Abdul was there to be the straight man, but Jotaro kind of was that also. I guess he wasn't, he was one of those, what do you call it, the character who's serious and as a result that can be funny, you know, rather than just a simple straight man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we got Hunter x Hunter episode 142.
Okay, so in this episode, Hisoka kills the one guy with all the coins, and it just makes you wonder why Hisoka is even killing anyone. Like, I know he's evil, but it didn't make much sense why he was doing this. And then we get Killua tricking his butlers into getting off on a airship, because that's their method of transportation. And he gets on an airship and he's off to save Gon. And then there's some political stuff about anti-Netero, which it must have been so boring the first time around that I didn't remember it. So, yeah, this was not a very good episode.
Yeah. Like, I could not even remember the... all I remember is that phrase, that there is something about an anti-Netero, and I can't remember anything else about it. Yeah, kind of boring. I mean, I don't know. The problem is we've got two plots going on, and I don't really care about either of them that much. I mean, I should care about the one with Killua and Gon, because, you know, they're like the main characters, and I do have some care about them. But it just feels like the arc is basically just about getting Gon back to health. The way they're doing it itself isn't that important or interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If
honestly, the only thing that's really good about this arc is Leorio. and the ending, of course, but aside from that, this arc is kind of unnecessary. So
so let's see, we got it was kind of reminding me of how I mentioned the Full Metal Alchemist movie, The Conqueror of Shambhala, how it was basically just like the plot just existed to accomplish, like, you know, to get from point A to point B, and that was really its only excuse for happening, and it wasn't in and of itself interesting.
Yeah, that, you're right.
That's how it's like this. It's to the point, like, I mean, I'll admit this is a little, like, better in terms of, you know, it introducing, like, Alika and some information about Killua's family and stuff, but other than that, it is too much, it feels too much of, we need to get going better, so we gotta get from point A to point B, and the way we're doing it isn't really interesting in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, that's our Toonami stuff. We'll move on to Ice Shield 21, episode 131.
Okay, so basically, another sappy, emotional story, this time about Jumanji, who basically gets beaten pretty badly by his opponent, and then his dad shows up. And then we get this ridiculous scene where his dad is talking to him from the stands. Now, if that is a football stadium, how in the world is he going to hear or see his dad from the stands? I mean, especially in the type of stadiums that they're depicted as. I mean, obviously, if you were actually playing high school football, you'd be playing in a much smaller stadium.
Mm-hmm.
but that was just so stupid, I thought, because it's like you'd never be able to hear or see anyone from the stands. And then the whole, so all that is basically to make him try harder. And now they got a couple first downs, and that's about it. Overall, I thought it was a pretty boring episode.
Oh, You didn't mention the fact that when Yukari's attacking, he's going, Aura, 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 Aura. It is obviously a reference to JoJo. Like, I just noticed that, like, immediately. He's saying Aura, 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 and, like, doing the punches just like Star Platinum. I think I liked it a little more. I did kind of like the focus. I mean, Jumanji doesn't usually get that much focus, so I was like, okay, it was just a little bit, but I kind of liked that. Otherwise, yeah, I'll admit it wasn't as good as like a bunch of things in the games have been. All right.
I have a lot to say about this next one.
Do you mean the next episode of iShield 21, or do you mean the show we're about to discuss?
Yo Mushi Pedal.
Okay. Yo Mushi Pedal episode 37. So, my reaction to this episode was essentially, did we switch protagonists when I wasn't looking? Because the whole thing is about how Scary Face Guy and his team is up against, I need a funny nickname for him, but like the blonde guy and his team, and you know, it's all about like, are you like willing to sacrifice people? Like, is that the right thing to do, to just like discard anything that might be baggage or whatever? And I'm like, okay, this could kind of be interesting, but all this interplay is the sort of thing that should be happening between the antagonist and the main characters, not a different team.
Yeah, I completely agree. But one thing I have the biggest problem with is that the Scary Face guy is doing all this taunting while standing up on his bike and looking backwards, and yet everyone else, all his teammates, are they're cycling as hard as they possibly can, and he's standing looking backwards and standing up, flapping his arms around, and somehow he's able to keep up with those people. That's so unrealistic, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of times where like people are just like, you know, looking behind them or like looking to their side rather than the front of the road when talking and stuff. I just kind of thought, whatever with that. But yeah, that is the case here. But yeah, like I said, that was just my reaction to this episode. It was like, it felt like these guys were the protagonists we were supposed to be following, rather than, you know, the actual protagonists.
Who get no airtime in this episode.
Yeah.
Except for the little thing at the end whenever Eowai Zumi is watching the Hime Hime show.
Yeah, and I'm like left. There's one episode left in this season. Is this like whole arc going to be done by then, or is it something that's going to continue into the next season? Like,
yeah,
because I just kind of assumed that, you know, this is like, you know, the season will end at the end of this particular arc, but it seems like there it's like two. Like, because they're coming close to the finish line and stuff, but it still seems like things would be so rushed and such. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see then. But, yeah, it's just this big change into, like, just the focus feels so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, we'll move on to World Trigger episode 27. All right, so basically, Jin and, you know, Yuma, like, picks up Yuma and to go, you know, try to help out Osamu and the others. But most of the episode is about the fight against Ron Benign, one of the neighbors, and you know, so it's a bunch of the border agents, a lot of which we have seen before. Like, we've seen Izumi, Midori, Kawa, and Yosuke, the spear guy. And basically, it's them trying to take him down because he's, you know, so powerful, able to, like, fire so quickly, has really powerful shields. But they managed to, you know, with, like, some strategy and teamwork, actually manage to beat him. I actually did really like the final bit where, you know, Yosuke, or is he Yoneya? No, Yosuke's a kid. This is Yoneya, right? Or am I?
Hold on a second. Wait, hold on a second. What episode are we on?
Aren't we on 27?
Let's see what episode I watched. Because last week, I need to bring this up.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, come on.
Well, while you try to figure it out, I'll give my mini review, I guess, of the finale of The Big Bang Theory, which I actually watched just before this. It was pretty good, actually. I was impressed by, like, especially the sort of final speech of the series, which managed to hit that perfect thing of managing to feel legitimately emotional, but still managing to pepper a few jokes into it so you can still laugh, but jokes that don't actually like subvert what the emotion they were going for. It wasn't perfect. There were a few issues. I kind of feel like they kind of left Raj hanging a bit, but on the whole, it was a pretty good conclusion. And in a world where we have finales like we had for, you know, Seinfeld, Roseanne, How I Met Your Mother, a long-running sitcom having a decent first episode really can't be underappreciated.
Okay, so I did watch 27. I just don't remember things very well. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, as I was saying, the part at the end where, Yoneya, that's his name. It's not Yosuke. The part where he manages to basically beat him by just, you know, charging, like, just jumping onto him down with his spear, and he's able to be protected by all, like, you know, the bullets the guy is shooting out, because all the other agents around him are basically put up a massive shield to protect him. So then he's able to just stab the guy, like, straight through. And actually has a kind of cool line where it just says, like, I might not be getting it exactly, but something like, well, I'm too bad for you. We're a team. So yeah, we also did have some bits of them, you know, still going up against Visa and Hughes. But mostly it was like that sort of fight against Ron Benign, which I thought was pretty entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that it legitimately was like a team effort to take him down rather than, you know, it just being one character versus another. It makes it feel more like an actual battle.
Yeah, my problem is that I just don't know any of these characters, and I'm getting really confused with them, you know.
Well, the three main ones that were going up against Ron Benign, we have seen them before. It's just they haven't necessarily gotten... Like Izumi, I think, like, only really did one thing. Midorikawa, you know, when he was up against Osamu and Yuma, that he was a little more memorable, but Hector's a flashback to that. But, yeah, most of the other people in it, like, we didn't really know anything about, but they were just kind of, but, you know, they were just, they weren't really that important to the fight. It was those three that were, like, the ones that got the most focus. Okay. So, yeah, I thought it was fairly decent, yeah. Okay, so we got Steins Gate episode 15. Okay, so Suzuha basically, you know, explains, I was like, CERN, because it has a power of time travel, has managed to become like a dictatorship in the future, and I came back in time to try to stop them. One thing I'm a little confused about is if they have the power of time travel, why haven't they used it to stop her? But maybe that's the sort of thing that'll be explained later. In any event, she came back to this time and was there longer than she should have because she was just kind of went around looking for father. So, but Okabe, that, you know, they're like, well, we got to fix the time machine because it's not working. So he jumps back again and somehow manages to convince everyone of the situation. In that, I noticed they just skip right over the fact he would have had to do that because he's the only one who can remember things. They just like all cuts to them all going there, and assume, and apparently he's just explained it all and convinced everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's starting to work on that. While I can't remember his name. Well, what the other, not Okabe, like the other guy, the one. That the other guy in this sort of lab, he's the one, you know, working on fixing it. And meanwhile, they're like, well, we might as well have something else to do. Let's try to find your father with this lead you have. For the most part, not a particularly remarkable episode, I thought. Although I did think the part where Okabe is like distracting the security guards by basically, you know, acting like he did at like the start of the series and stuff, but you know, was pretty funny.
Yeah, I just wasn't too interested in the whole find your father thing, you know.
Yeah, because that's, when you get down to it, that really was the most of the sort of plot of the episode. You know, a bunch of it was like giving us information or like trying to get the thing fixed for future stuff. In terms of plot advancement, that's what the main focus was. I'm hoping that it'll be that it'll lead to something interesting. Like, I don't know, maybe let's see, that's 16 years in the, maybe like their father will be someone we know. Although, how old is she? Is it possible any of the characters are her parents? No, I don't know. I don't think so because I'm looking at, yeah, that thing is, no, well, that is 26 years in the future, and this is 2000. I don't know. I guess it's possible, but I guess we'll find out. Although I think she would have, like, actually been aware of who, if that was the case. But we'll see. It looks like we're at least having things happen, and I think it can lead to some cool stuff after this. But this still just, I don't know, didn't really feel, like, stuff happened, but it didn't really feel like it did, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, that's all the stuff. So, for our top three, and yet again, I realize I have forgotten to, put it together. So, well, number one is obvious. It's going to be My Hero Academia, for me.
Yeah.
For second place, I think I will pick, World Trigger, and then JoJo. Well, let me think. No, let's go. I'll go Ice Shield 21.
Okay, so my first place one is obviously My Hero Academia. Very good episode again. And then second place would probably be Steins Gate. And third place would have to be, I'm forgetting one of them, am I? Let's see. I'm trying to remember which one I'm forgetting. What were the five Toonami shows again?
The ones we covered, My Hero Academia, The Promised Neverland, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Hunter x Hunter. That's isn't it? Aren't there only four we're doing right now?
Yeah, for some reason I thought there was five. Oh yeah, that's right. Because Sword Art Online we got rid of. Okay. Third place, I would just go with Yo Moosey Pedal because, as dumb as it was, at least I was paying attention because it was just so stupid. The guy riding on his bike, looking backwards, both hands flapping in the air, both arms up, not even paying attention, and yet still riding at full speed. It was so stupid that I have to give it to Yo, Moosey Pedal. So, unintentional humor for this week wins out.
Although, to be fair, I don't know anything about cycling. So, for all I know, maybe that is possible. Like how there's this part on The Wire where this character falls from, I can't remember what it was. I think it was like the fifth or sixth story of a building. And then after he falls, he runs off. And everyone like said that, and you know, the fans said, oh, that's completely ridiculous. That's impossible. And then like writers said, well, actually that's based off of something that happened. And it happened with someone who was on a higher floor than we had on the show. That actually did happen. So who knows?
All right. I'm going to bet that's not possible though.
It apparently actually did legitimate. Oh, wait. I thought you were talking about The Wire. Yeah, we're going back to you and Wishy Power. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I can almost believe The Wire thing. I can't believe the cycling thing, though. Sorry.
Yeah. It was kind of weird. Yeah. And the weirdest thing is, like I said, if the conversation was between Scary Face Guy and his team and, like, you know, the main characters of the series, if either it had been between the main characters we know, or if this other team he was talking with had been the main characters this whole time, it would have worked fine. It's just, it's so weird that that the main character team isn't involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to mention that I'm still not caught up with this anime that I want to talk about, which it's kind of good maybe that I'm not rushing through it like I did with Hunter x Hunter, but I keep on getting distracted, and then it comes around time for the podcast, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about that. So maybe next week, we'll see.
Yeah, it can be like that. Let me when is stuff coming back? Oh yeah, Attack on Titan. That's coming the week after this weekend. So yeah, so in about like 2 weeks we're getting Attack on Titan back. So yeah, we'll cover that when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Good. I've been hearing a lot of bad things about Two Punch Man. So.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched it, but I watched this video by someone who was kind of going over like the new anime recently, and he mentioned about how a lot of people didn't like One Punch Man. I think, isn't it like because like the animation is way worse?
I don't know what the reason is. I just keep on hearing everyone being disappointed with it. So, yeah. And then I saw this hilarious article. Someone put up that they came up with a new character called Two Punch Man. And he got his way by doing 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, 50 squats, and running a 5 kilometers every day. And that's how he became Two Punch Man. Now he can kill anyone using two punches.
Yeah, that's funny, actually. Yeah, like I have heard like some negative things. I think a completely different studio is in charge of it now, so that might have been the cause of things. But yeah, I don't know how people have been reacting to the second half of this season of Attack on Titan, actually. Based on what I know of the manga, I'm really excited for it, but I don't know if, you know, that's transferred well into the anime or not.
Okay, well, it's almost bedtime here, so we better cut it off now.
All right. Well, everyone, we'll see you next time. You can see our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. So, oh, dang, I already said we'll see you next time, and that's usually the way, the best way to go off to conclude the thing. So, see ya! Anyway.